All right, this morning we're going to talk about the stone is rolled away. And Father, I thank you for all who came out into your house this morning. I thank you for your message. I thank you for what you've done so far. I thank you for your daughter that you set apart. And now, Father God, we thank you for the message that the stone is rolled away. I thank you for, Father God, that your angelic host are walking to and fro throughout the chairs, ministering to the people's needs. And I'm asking that everybody's need is met according to your riches and glory. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God called this, a stone is rolled away. And let's look at John 10:37-38. Jesus said, if I am not doing the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works. In other words, believe what you see that I'm doing. And John 14:11 says, Jesus said, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe me on account of the works themselves. See, Jesus was going out there with signs, wonders, and miracles. He said, you have to believe in that. And elsewhere, Jesus affirms the following to the disciples of John the Baptist in Matthew 11:4. Go and tell John what you hear. Remember, John was in prison, and he was wondering, was Jesus really Jesus? And so then Jesus told the disciples, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Every minister in here today, I want us to read this scripture again. Go and tell John what you hear and see. Now, this is what you need to be doing. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And now God starts speaking. Yes, my children, the stone is truly rolled away. There is no grave that can hold down my beloved son, and there is no grave that can hold you down either. Why do you keep postponing the inevitable? Why not just stand up and do the impossible that I'm calling you forth to accomplish? Now, listen to what he's instructing you to do this morning. This is instructions. So many in my house sick with one infirmity after another. So many in my house in financial stress. So many in my house with marital problems. So many in my house bound with drugs and alcoholism. So many, so many, so many. I could go on and on with these, with the so many's, but why? God said, my beloved ones, it is impossible time. It is miracle working time. All you have to do is stretch out your hands with faith and speak to the mountain, and it must move. It must move from here to there, and you can cast it into the sea, as my word states. And Mark 11:22 says, in reply, Jesus said to the disciples, if you only have faith in God, this is the absolute truth. You can say to this Mount of Olives, rise up and fall into the Mediterranean, and your command will be obeyed. All that's required is that you really believe and have no doubt. We're talking about doing signs, wonders, and miracles. Jesus said, all that is required is that you really believe and have no doubt. Listen to me, you can pray for anything, and if you believe you have it, it's yours. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive you your sins too. That's an important key right there. If you're going to be praying for the signs, wonders, and miracles, then forgive. You cannot have any unforgiveness in your heart. What's none? We do not have the right or the privilege to hold unforgiveness or aught against anybody. God said, I have spoken before and I will speak again. It is greater works time, and what better time than right now when you are celebrating the risen Savior. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 through 4 says, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation, which was first declared by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bore them witness with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and with gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his own will. God said signs and wonders were just as much a testimony to the gospel as accompanying verbal proclamation. The word itself was good, but signs and wonders are supposed to go along with the word of God. We are not walking in that. this morning, God wants to ignite that within you. He wants to put something inside of you, a promise inside of you that if you just go by faith and do, then he will accomplish what you ask him to do. The Apostle Paul understood this truth, and he declared the following in Romans 15:18. For I will not dare to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and as far around as Iconium I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Paul says, I can only do what God is telling me to do, and nothing more, nothing less. To Paul, the full proclamation of the gospel necessitated signs and miracles. We need to get that in our spirit this morning. Persuasion didn't just come through speech, but also by what was on display. This is God speaking. People need a proclamation and a demonstration of Spirit's power. God says, come, my beloved ones, you be the forerunner in this dispensation of time. You guys in here, he's talking to y'all, me too. You speak and watch all the mountains remove. You speak and watch the cancers fall off the bodies. You speak and watch the blinded eyes open. You speak and watch the demons flee. You. Not your brother or your sister, but you. If you're going to walk in signs, wonders, and miracles, you can have no doubt whatsoever. When you pray, you have to believe that you're going to receive whenever you pray. God says, no more excuses, no more standing in the background waiting for someone else to step up and perform one miracle after another. It is your turn to shine your light on all darkness, and I mean all darkness. God said, how are you going to prove to a lost and dying world what a wonderful Savior you serve? Miracles are not a sign for the church, they are for the lost. In Matthew 16:4, it is the evil and sinful people who want to see a miracle as a sign from God, but no miracle will be done to prove anything to them. The only sign will be the miracle that happened to Jonah. Then Jesus went away from there. And what he's saying is, church, I'm not going to show you signs, wonders, and miracles. You should be walking in them. You should be accomplishing what my word says you can accomplish. And God said, it is time to dispel all darkness, and the only way to do this is with signs, wonders, and miracles. You've already went out there and told them Jesus is good. You've already went out there and fed their little tummies, right? You put clothes in their back. Now they want to see something else. They want to see signs, wonders, and miracles. And God told me this is Resurrection Sunday. This is when I want my people to tap into this source of signs, wonders, and miracles. And this is a day that I want to send them forth to accomplish the signs, wonders, and miracles. And don't go say, I hope this really happens, God. You don't do that. No. You see somebody sick, you say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command you to be healed. You don't do a lengthy 10-minute prayer. What did Peter and John say? Silver and gold we don't have, but what we have we give to you. Rise up and walk. And then they walked away. The guy was healed. We do too much of this, wanting to spend 15 minutes praying, and we don't get anything accomplished. I never read where Jesus did that. God said, I tell you a truth, church. The world is waiting for the miraculous, and it is only going to happen if you step out in faith and just do. Yes, the stone is rolled away, and my son is alive and well, and he did great exploits for me while he walked this earth, and you are supposed to be walking in his same footsteps. We say, well, I'm just like Jesus. I have the same power and authority that Jesus had. Well, then where's the signs, wonders, and miracles? All right? God said, are you fully equipped or are you not? Have I not been telling you that I have anointed you with all power and authority? Then, children, you are anointed to go forth with signs, wonders, and miracles following you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, and that same Christ gave these gifts to people. He made some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to go and tell the good news, and some to care for the church and God's people. Christ gave these gifts to prepare God's holy people for the work of serving, to make the body of Christ stronger. all your gifts that you have are not for you to say, oh, I have these gifts. They're supposed to use those gifts, and you're supposed to be working those gifts. God said, you are not dead. There is no person, I'm sorry, you are not dead. There is no prison door keeping you bound. Those shackles have been broken off of your feet. You are free to go forth and conquer on all sides, not just one or two, but all sides. Now that's the end of what God said. Now, are you really ready to go forth and do signs, wonders, and miracles? Are you really ready? You need to quit allowing the enemy to make you second guess yourself. Either you have the power of God in you or you don't. And if you have the power of God in you, then you have the power to go and heal. You have the power to do anything that Jesus did. So, as we read the word, we see that the gospel has always advanced by signs and wonders. When Jesus preached the coming of the kingdom, he performed miracles to display the power of God and to overthrow the rule of Satan. When Peter preached to the crowd on the day of Pentecost, he stated that Jesus was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs. The disciples saw Jesus as their model and followed him in the ministry of signs and wonders. And Luke chapter 9, verse 1 through 2 says, then Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So he sent them to preach, then heal. So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Give the word and then do the healing. All right, the New Testament pattern. The Great Commission was given in an atmosphere of the resurrection, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and the miraculous. Now, Matthew spoke of Jesus' power and authority over everything in heaven and earth. Mark stated that these signs will accompany those who believe. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will be protected from danger and heal the sick. That's Mark 16, 17, and 18. I should have been giving you scriptures. Now, Luke emphasized that with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Acts 4:33. John reinforced Jesus' model of ministry and miracles. He said, as the Father hath sent me, I am sending you. And that's in John 20:21. This same power and authority to perform signs, wonders, and miracles in the name of Jesus have been given to those who are sent to the lost. The problem of the church is you're sitting inside the church still trying to do the signs, wonders, and miracles in the church. And it's not working because the church has already rejected Jesus. The church should already be healed. What you need to do, what God wants you to do with these signs, what the gifts you have, is take them to the lost. That's how we're going to see this big harvest is coming in, is if we go with the signs, wonders, and miracles. The book of Mark demonstrates the power of the kingdom in conflict with Satan's rule. And this is Mark 1:15. In the first chapter, Mark set the stage for the life of signs and wonders. And when God announced the coming of his beloved son, Satan tried to weaken Jesus' authority by attacking him with temptations. And see, what Satan will do with you from this point on, he'll keep telling you, you can't do that. You don't have the power and authority to do that. You might as well just sit down and just quit. All right? But I'm also going to throw this in there. You're going to have to understand that not everybody you lay hands on is going to be healed. It just is not going to happen. And don't ask me why. I don't know, because this is what I've witnessed over the years I've been behind the pulpit. I will tell you why, because there's sin in a person's life. I remember one time we prayed for this man and he just wasn't being healed. And God said, used the word wormwood. And wormwood means unforgiveness. And this man, he denied he had it. But we found out from the wife he did have unforgiveness, and he died because he would not let go of the unforgiveness. So when you're praying for somebody and they're not being healed, you need to ask God, what is in this person that is blocking the anointing from going through. All right? And right now, if you've been doing everything you know to do, and you know, and you have sickness in your body, and God hasn't healed you yet, and if you're really hearing God's voice, He's telling you why. Are you listening? So we need to keep everything in perspective. But one thing you have to do, Mark said, these signs will accompany those who believe. Those who believe. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will be protected from danger and heal the sick. That is our commission. When I first started, I just took the word and I believed everything that was in it. If He said I could do it, I did it. How did that happen? I didn't question anything. I went as a little child and just did what the word, even though pastors told me, you can't do that. I said, well, the word tells me I can. And so I continued to do that. Are you understanding here? So don't allow anybody to tell you you can't do that, because you're a believer, you're a child of God, you can do that. All right, so then I said, when God announced the coming of His beloved Son, Satan tried to weaken Jesus' authority by attacking Him with the temptations. After Jesus' victory in the desert, He preached the kingdom of God is near. He said, repent and believe the good news. Jesus counterattacked Satan's kingdom by casting the evil spirit out of the man in the Capernaum synagogue, and that's in Mark 1, 24 through 26. The result was that the news about Jesus spread over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as the gospel goes to new areas, signs and wonders accompany the declaration. Jesus went out there and preached the word. Signs and wonders followed. His name spread all out through the community, and people went to Him to be healed. It is healing time. Right now, God is bringing healing back into the body of Christ. God wants to use each one of you sitting here this morning with that gifting of healing. But you're going to have to make sure that your life is right and that you are listening to God's voice and God's voice only. You're not trying to do what man is doing or has done. You're going to have to be doing what Jesus did. All right? When Jesus sent out the 72, you know, He sent out 72 disciples. He told the missionaries to heal the sick who were there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. They were supposed to heal and tell them they had to get saved. When the disciples returned, they were full of joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. They didn't only go out and heal, they went out and delivered. Then spent 6 hours doing it. All right? Jesus declared that signs and wonders are part of the mission when He said, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, a possible allusion to Satan and his demons, the word says, and to overcome all the power of the enemy. You'll find that in Luke 10:19. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Do you believe His word? He's given you all power and all authority over the enemy. Sickness is of the enemy, right? After the Great Commission was given, the apostles began doing the same ministry Jesus had on earth. They did the very same thing that Jesus did. I am not seeing that in the body of Christ today. We just come in the house of God and we just sit and we listen. We don't really quite believe everything we hear. And we just go back out there and live our daily lives and then come back in when church is again. And we aren't doing anything in between. We need to be about the Father's business. After the resurrection, during the 30, I thought this was neat. All right, I said, after the Great Commission was given, the apostles began doing the same ministry Jesus had on earth. Then after the resurrection, during the 35-year period of the book of Acts, over 80 references of the miraculous in the ministry of the apostles and the disciples are recorded. So, you know, God said He works in 40-year segments. But when it came to the book of Acts, it was a 30-year period of time that those things were occurring. And God told me what a week ago that we are in another 40-year segment of his timing. And so I don't know when this started. It was a couple months ago, right? And we are starting in a new 40-year period. And I noticed that when the new period started, he immediately called us to start fasting and praying. He does that every time he starts a new period of time. He always calls the people to fast and pray. Why? It brings you closer to God. It cleanses you inside, but it brings you closer to God, and then your giftings can come forth. There's nothing in there muddling your mind, and you can just go forward and do the things God's calling you forth to do. So if you haven't started your fasting and praying, I would suggest you start fasting and praying, and I'm going to do it. They're going to have my birthday party dinner Monday, so Tuesday I'll be start fasting and praying. And whenever you start it, don't stop in the middle of it. Start it and finish it. It's always a 40-day fast. Sorry that you have to hear this, but always a 40-day fast. And you won't die fasting. I can guarantee you that you really won't. We'll probably all look really good. We won't be carrying around this extra weight. Amen? Come on. So the fasting does play a big part in the miracles. It really does. One of the truths of missions is the relationship of signs and wonders to the coming of the kingdom of God in new cultural groups. Now, let me explain that. As the gospel is preached to the unreached, miracles will take place to authenticate the coming of a greater kingdom into the rule of Satan. In other words, when you start preaching the gospel to unsaved people, they will begin to understand there's something greater out there than Satan, and they'll want what you have. Now, when Philip went to Samaria to proclaim Christ, the people saw miraculous signs, and then they all paid close attention to what he said. And that's in Acts 8:6-7. And I remember when I first came on the scene, Patricia King and her group came on the scene about then, and they would go out on the street and set up a table or something and just start prophesying to people and healing them. And when they did that, then the people wanted Jesus. So you see, the problem with the body of Christ is we don't know what authority we have. And we aren't going out there and sitting on the street with authority, just total confidence. You know that whenever you pray for somebody, they're really going to be healed. And you know that God's really going to speak through you and prophesy to them something that only they and God know. Are you understanding that here? And see, that's where you have to come to this morning. You have to come to that place that nothing will deter you ever again, and that you know that you know that you know that God is with you and you have all power and all authority. God told me, daughter, when you fast, you're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles start again when I fast. So Johnny can't make me no more beans and pot pie. Amen. He makes a wicked bean, so he does. You see what I'm saying? He already told me what I have to do. So I'm telling you, you have to fast too. If you want to see signs, wonders, and miracles, because Jesus and his disciples fasted all the time, didn't he not? I just told a lie. Jesus fasted, but his disciples didn't have to, because people say, why don't your disciples fast? He said, they don't have to while they're with me. But after he died, then they had to fast and pray. All right? Now, the man most responsible for the persecution of the young church was blinded by a light from heaven. Even the men with Saul, and Saul was the one we're talking about, even the men with Saul were speechless because they heard the miraculous voice from heaven but didn't see anyone. These were all heathen, and they heard this voice in the air, you know. All right, got their attention. After the Lord convicted a layman named Ananias, you know, everybody was afraid of Saul, right? Paul, and so God talked to Ananias, I want you to heal Paul. And he said, no, I don't want anything, he'll kill me. So, but God finally convinced him to do that. All right, after the Lord convinced a layman named Ananias that he was to be the instrument of God in this situation, Paul received a sight. And you find that in Acts 9:1-19. In other words, once he convinced Ananias, no, you won't be killed. Then Ananias got Paul and prayed for him, and his sight was restored because God blinded him, remember? And then his sight was restored. Now, Peter was probably the most sectarian of the disciples. It took the Lord's voice 3 times in a vision. That's like some of you. 3 times in a vision to get him to understand the transcultural emphasis of the gospel. In other words, the gospel needed to go beyond the Jewish community to the Gentile community. Paul said, Peter said, I'm not going to do that. But God finally convinced him he had to take the message from the Jews to the Gentiles now. So we have to take the news from the church to the streets. And he's been telling us for a while, we got a couple people raised up to do street ministry, all right? Now, the miraculous vision was the only way to get Peter beyond the Jewish restrictions of the gospel. What does God have to do to you to get you to understand that he wants you to get out there and use signs, wonders, and miracles? Now, when Peter and those with him saw that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles and that they spoke with tongues, it was enough to convince them that the gospel was to move beyond the Jewish people. And you find that in Acts 10:9. What does God have to do? Take you out there and miraculously do something to somebody? Say, oh, look what God's doing to that unsaved heathen, to make you believe that God really wants to use you? And think about this. God's miracles through Philip brought the gospel to Samaria and thereafter the continent of Africa. The healing of Paul's blindness took the kingdom truth to the Gentiles as far away as Europe. See what happens when God moves in your life? This is what I'm trying to get the point across here. Signs and wonders at a Roman soldier's house took the gospel to the group most hated by the Jews. The Roman soldiers, right? When the gospel goes to the unreached, it is accompanied by signs and wonders. So if you're out there saying, boy, I'm doing really great things for God, are you really? Is signs and wonders following you? Or are you too engrossed in everyday situations in your own life and oh, poor me, and your mind is not on the lost? I really want you to think about this, because God said he wants to manifest himself in signs, wonders, and miracles through you people. You're here. He knew you was going to be here, and this message was made for you. All right, now the gospel accompanied by signs and wonders needs to be taken throughout these United States of America. And God said this. The gospel accompanied by signs, wonders, and miracles needs to be taken throughout these United States of America and turn them from darkness to light. He didn't say go to Africa. He said America. And then he said, will you be a vessel that will take the gospel accompanied by signs and wonders to America? Do you know how lost America really is? Do you know how lost the churches in America really are? Do you understand that the majority of the people, and I don't want to get in this evening's message, but do you understand how many churches are going to close down because the people in there are not godly? You're going to see a lot of churches empty out real soon because the ministers will not get yourself together, and they've already led their people into darkness, and their people just believe they're fine, and they're lost. And it's time, saints of God. You know, God told me I'm going to bring people in and they're going to make them ministers. I'm going to send them out to minister. Now, a lot of people have come in, been inaugurated, you know, become reverends or evangelists, whatever, but not very many of them have been chosen by God. Many are called, few are chosen. Why? Because they choose to stay in the world. They choose, even though they put reverend in front of their names, they might open churches, they are not living for God. You guys, I know, are working as hard as you can work yourself, ready, living for God. I know you are. And I appreciate that, and God appreciates that. Now, I want you to go forth with signs, wonders, and miracles. I want you to just devastate the enemy's kingdom. You know, where people thought they were dying, you know, all you have to do is walk up and say, in the name of Jesus. I know how this works, because that's how God used me for years and years. You don't have to labor with anything. I remember one time this young lady had been in a truck. Well, she wrecked her truck, and she was crippled. And she was walking down my hallway, and she had already told me, she said, God said, I'll never be able to walk right ever again. You know how they limp when your legs are all broke. And I went by her, and just, I didn't hear nothing, but I just felt to just stop and kneel down, and I didn't touch her legs. I just took my hand and went like this on both sides of her leg, and her legs were totally and completely healed at that given second. Didn't say a word, But I knew that God wanted me to do that, and I knew he was going to heal her. And I prayed, I've laid hands on different people in my home just by begging God in my mind, please heal me. But God said, not right now, not right now. And I don't ask why. I don't care. You know, God knows when the right time is. But, you know, if you're really walking with God the way you ought, you'll know when God's there to heal. You'll know when God's there to do great signs, wonders, and miracles. You'll just know there's something in you. It's the Spirit of God that comes alive within you. It's just not something. It's the Spirit of God that comes alive in you. And you'll see great signs, wonders, and miracles occur. All right, let's just talk about the drug addicts out there. Do you know how messed up their minds are? Do you understand how messed up their bodies are? The only thing that can help these people is if you, who are called by God, walk a holy, pure life and have the anointing to walk up to them and say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And all of a sudden, God restores your body whole. And God is going to do that. But you can't be judging them either. You have to be walking in the love of God. And you just have to know that God is going to do great and mighty works.